And I'll take the, wherever the science sheet is, I'll take that, please.
All set? Did you want to sign on the sheet just in case?
No.
Just casting.
Thank you.
That's a bunch of crap.
All right, I'd like to open the meeting, the July 27th meeting, with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right. Joel is absent today, so we'll be doing roll call. David Bench?
Present.
Bo Miller? Mark Sattler, present. Okay, the next item, roll call complete. Next item is the minutes from the last regular meeting, June 13th.
I read them, so I can approve them.
Okay, a motion from David, and I'll second that. Roll call, David Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Mark Sattler, yes. Roll call complete. All right, fiscal officer's report. Joel did leave the reports for us, David. And so we have payments. Total payment advice 21807 through 21834, totaling $21,491.51. We have receipt detail, receipt number 123-2023 through 135-2023, receipts totaling $6,898.86, and fund status. We have pooled investments of $621,218.89, and the checking account balance of $754,531.14, for a total funds balance of $1,375,750.03. Is there a motion to approve the fiscal officer's report as read?
I so move.
I'll second that. Roll call, David Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Mark Sattler, yes. Okay. Roll call complete. A fiscal officer's report complete. No report from the zoning department today. Rec department. Gary, are you on?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
We can, yes, sir. Very good.
Awesome. So I sent you guys an email with the update. The biggest thing I want to talk about is Park Fest. That's moving along really well. And Mark, I chatted with you a little bit about this today, so I'm kind of just going to go over what our conversation was. But it's Friday, August 11th, and Saturday, August 12th. The 11th is going to be more of a nighttime thing. And the 12th is when we're going to have a lot of our events going on throughout the community. We're going to have our family event at the Jerusalem Elementary. That's going to go from noon to roughly 5, depending on the weather. We'll have free food. We'll have tractors, family games, water games. So by the township fire department, it's going to be a great time. I'm still waiting to hear back from several businesses in the area about when and how they want to participate into it. And my plan is to get a flyer out with that information, with the time of everything, by this weekend. I'm going to share it on Facebook. I'll share it on the website. I'll put it on the banner in front of the fire hall. I'll have it in the paper as well. We just want everybody to come out and have a good time. And our goal for this, for everybody that has questions about it, our goal for this is just to support and promote the businesses in our community, and just to have a great time. We did it last year, and I thought it was a success. And our plan for this year is just to make it bigger and better. So, yeah, that's how I still have to hear. The plan is to have a kayaking event at Howard Marsh. I still need to follow up with Kathy Morris about that. We're going to try to get somebody from the Wolf Creek Sportsman Club to try to do some fun stuff for the kiddos and for some adults, and it's just going to be a great time. Does anybody have any questions about that?
No. Nope. Great. Sounds good.
Awesome. Youth sports are going well. Football or baseball and softball seasons are in full effect. Things are going well. We have a lot of kiddos from Jerusalem Township that are participating on a team. I know I have two teams that I'm coaching. My two daughters are playing, and everybody on that team is from Jerusalem Township. So it's great to see kids out there playing and using our facilities. We also have a new league that started this year, the girls flag football. Yeah. We started practices with that a couple weeks ago. There's 12 total teams. There's 90 total girls in the Oregon and Jerusalem Townships area that are participating in all girls flag football. It is wonderful. I know that my kids are super pumped about it, and they're working really hard. Our first games are scheduled to be on July 12th. So if you want to come check it out, you're more than welcome to check it out. We're going to hopefully have some games at our rec fields, but some games are also going to be at the Oregon rec as well. We're looking to revamp Joe Verb Park.
Hey, Gary, I got a question from David.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what's the ages of the girls on the football team?
So the girls, it's there's three age groups. It's U8, which is 8 and under. There's U10 and U12. There are 6 U8 teams, and each team has roughly 8 girls on it. And we decided to let ages 6, 7, and 8 play in that, just so to get the girls playing. So my 6-year-old and my 8-year-old are both playing my 7-year-old are both playing on the same team, which is awesome. But there's 6 U8 teams, there are 4 U10 teams, wow, and there are 4 U12 teams. So it's awesome. It exploded. I was talking with, it was kind of, Hank Fox, who's, helps out with the Oregon rec, and myself got together a few months ago and just said, what can we do for some of the young ladies in our area? And I was like, my girls want to play flag football, but they're too scared to play with some of the boys. So we kind of threw this out there, and it's going really, really well. We're proud of it. So hopefully it just gets bigger and better from here.
Fantastic, Gary.
So the next thing that I'm going to talk about is we're finally making grounds on revamping some Joe Verb Park. Next week, we're going to add another picnic table to the park. I also got some outdoor grills for our community members to use that we're going to install out there. And I'm going to actually take a couple of our soccer goals that are just sitting at our rec field, and we're going to have soccer nets out there for some of the kids to play on, out there at Joe Verb Park. So kind of a way to have, people try to go out there and enjoy that park a little bit more. Still working on getting swings. I'm going to take my ladder out there and try to fix some of those swings that are hanging out. To kind of make that more of a safe area to play on as well. I'm really excited about that. The rec board is going to help me do all that next week as well. So that's going to be pretty cool. And we're going to add another grill, or not another grill, but add a grill as well out to the pavilion at the rec field. So we can, our community members can come out there and hang out at the rec fields and, grill out and just enjoy the area. So.
Good.
That's really all I got. Anybody got any questions?
Excellent. Sounds good. David, anything?
Just fantastic, Gary. You've
Thank you.
Just really great.
Yeah, we appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Gary. Fire Department report. Chief?
Okay. Good evening, everyone. First, I want to just talk about a little bit. Fire department, if you're not aware, has been pretty busy with a lot of various calls. We had the tornado event, which went well. The only area that we ended up having any issues with was at Maumee Bay State Park, and they did declare it as a zero something, zero F-zero, F, yeah. F-zero tornado. But nobody was hurt, and everything went well. I was out of town during most all of this, but everyone stepped up and did their job. I do want to thank a few people in the community. I was networking with, even though I was out of town, I was networking with EMA, talking with them, and I was getting damage assessments from Vern Minky, Elvis, and some of my firefighters. So we had people out surveying the township. I know maintenance, I'm sure, was out too as well. But that was everyone that I was dealing with. So that went good. Next item is in the hall, you'll see there's an AED mounted on the wall. Don't be alarmed when you open the door or cabinet, it will have a beeping noise or a buzzer. And that's just to alert more people to provide help. So we're glad to, the fire department's glad to get that in there and maintenance put it up.
That's a wonderful addition to that community.
Yeah, it's
room.
Something it's hopefully we'll never have to use it.
Hope not, but it's there if
but
we
it's
need
there
it.
If it is. Right. So I do want to just mention to the trustees that I would like to move forward on our this is actually a pumper tanker proposal. I would like to move forward on permission to seek bids on this behalf. I will give you each a breakdown of the proposal of the three that we are closely looking at. But in order to keep moving forward, I'm going to need permission to potentially spend up to $500,000. So I'll leave that for sure, Bo, if you can make sure that he gets one.
Thank you.
These are the actual specs. So if you did want to see it more, there's three bid specs. I would need those back though. But this, the one that we're looking at, there's a lot of considerations right now. Part of them is getting chassis. That's a hassle, trying to get chassis. We're a year out probably from even getting this thing. But the longer we wait, the longer we're gonna wait to get it again. So the one we're currently looking at will carry 3,400 gallons of water. It does have a 1,500 gallon minute pump. It is a tandem axle truck.
Is that
its
recommendation,
job is to deliver water.
Is that recommendation number one?
That's recommendation number one.
Okay.
And recommendation number two is a 3,000 gallon tanker with a 1,000 gallon pump. We're trying to see if they can go up to a 1,500 gallon pump, because that would put them back in the game. You can see the prices are pretty close. The difference with this one is it has compartments capable of carrying ladders and more hose on this truck. Whereas on the first one that is an elliptical tank, there's limited amount of hose that you can carry on those trucks. It's mainly the tank is what it is. And then the last one is a another elliptical tank. It is a vac pump tank. So it's a combination of 1,500 gallon minute pump, but it also has vacuum capabilities. The only advantage to that, or one advantage to that truck, is they can fill at a water source much quicker because they're vacuuming. They're sucking up the water much quicker than a pump has to carry the prime, and then it has to suck the water. And they can take water out of a very shallow source and still fill up their tank. Whereas on the other, when you're drafting, you have to have a couple feet of water in order for you not to lose suction. So I know it's a little, I'm not trying to belabor all this. I'm just trying to give you a quick overview. Yeah. I'll be available for any questions on this.
Given our, if you maybe a question or two now, given our proximity to open water sources, ditches, lake, etc., and the fact that there's a lot of the township that's not serviced by hydrants.
Correct.
Do you see that the VAC system has an advantage over the others?
It can. I'm primarily, when I talk to I have a committee, they are the ones that pursued all of the information and brought everything to me. The only drawback on that truck is the cost and the years out to get it. It even pushes out a bit further on getting that one out. But
well, that's about 2 years out, huh?
Yeah. So I worked with some in training this year at Pena County, and they're good. My intent is we are going to arrive at the house with the first truck of 1,000 gallons. The next truck is going to have 3,000 gallons of water. So for us, getting on these scenes and getting this water and having that water quick, now it gives us more time from his department to bring me two more 1,500 gallon trucks. So we've bought a lot of time now. I still have another truck with 1,000 gallons. So the intent eventually will be to get rid of one truck. One truck will go away. This tanker pumper will take its place.
So you don't think you don't see that the VAC has a significant advantage, not worth waiting the extra year?
The tanker guys think it does, but I think our water sources are deep enough that we can draw drafting with that.
Okay. All right. These are not these are just estimates right now. They're not binding quotes.
They're not binding. Now we have to go through the bid process.
Okay.
And but I need to have permission to at least go to that rate. I'm asking for 500 just to keep it.
So
there.
With respect to funding sources, you know, what's in your budget versus are you going to be going after a municipal lease?
We have no payments of any consequence anymore. The squad has been paid off now for a year, and when we did the squad, we had appropriated $35,000 per year for payments, and Joel and I worked it out. We're going to do $50,000 at least, and but this is a lease purchase, okay. And we can stretch this out easily to 5 to 7 years.
So okay, no, so this is compliant with
that is
municipal,
yes.
Lease.
Okay. Yep.
Very good. All right. And you're just looking for authorization to go out to begin the bid process.
That's what I'm looking for. Is that okay? Understanding, I wanted you to know that I'm looking not to exceed $500,000.
I don't see why we have to do this. I mean, when he wants to buy it, then
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think you're just looking. Not really for formal approval. You're just looking to check in.
To make sure that you're aware of where we're headed.
We appreciate the update.
What we're potentially looking at. I think when I first talked to you, it was closer, just over $430,000. Mm-hmm. But obviously you can see where we're at.
Okay, very good. Please proceed, Chief.
Okay, then we're good on that. Just a couple little more items. Thursday, we have a meeting with Oregon and the county on the upcoming changes to the EMS Life Squad situation.
Right.
And then I just want you to be informed, I'm still waiting on parts for Medic 31 to arrive. This is for the, we need to replace the air conditioner unit on that Medic unit. So it keeps, no matter what we do, it just keeps leaking Freon. If you look at it, the salt and everything just kind of destroyed it. So. We're trying to get the station cleaned up with the mayflies right now. We've got a crew in here trying to flush them away from the building. You don't want to go in our station truck bay right now. It smells like a fishery. So, and we're trying to get that place cleaned up now from, hopefully the mayflies are over. Other than that, that's all I have.
Okay. All right. David, any questions for the chief?
No, I just want to thank him. I watch and see how many times you go out every day, and it's crazy. You guys are almost full-time, so thank you, Tony. Thank you for what you guys do.
Folks have been, pretty. Last couple of weeks, you've been pretty busy.
I do only want to comment on one of the fires. And so we had downloaded the tapes from the fire, and it was the La Fountain fire. So I just want you to realize, we had an officer on scene. He was able to do a 360, evaluate it, and see the conditions of it. So he had his plan of attack already established. When the truck arrived, this is how training is effective. When the truck arrived, within 1 minute of them stopping, applying the air brakes, getting the pump in gear, they had water on the fire within 1 minute. So the fire was attacked, transitionalized. That means we fight it exterior-wise first, knock down the fire so we can get in there, and within 5 minutes, the search was conducted and the victim was pulled. So I can't tell you how proud I am of the crews and everybody that did their job. And it's not just the initial crews, it's the backup crews that kind of come in. You know, you gotta realize when we deal with this, our guys are human. There's a lot of emotion that goes on with these guys, and it can be stressful. Some of them are still probably dealing with things yet, and they still will continue. But sometimes we have true wins, and sometimes we don't. I've been in this service for 40 years. The good Lord makes the decision on other things, but the effectiveness of everybody and getting our mutual aid and getting everybody in there and doing what we got to do, again, we need to be proud of this fire department. They have done a hell of a job. We had another fire in Brown. The homeowner was home. He didn't even know the fire. His house was on fire. The neighbor called it in, and the problem was part of it was the wind. Just like the same problem we had on the other La Fountain fire, it was the wind. And once it started up, it's suspected that it may have started in the attic. Not sure of the cause. Fire marshal's trying to figure things out too. But that wind took it and it just cooked it. We're able to establish a hydrant line off the hydrant, so water did not become the entire issue. It was that wind, and it pushes hard. So. I didn't want to go into a lot, but I just want everyone to be understanding. I'm extremely proud of the department and all the work that they're doing. And there's a lot of other things that they deal with that sometimes you can forget very easily. And thank you, Dave, for recognizing that when you see all these vehicles at the station, there's a lot of calls.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more. Well, you know, we're going to be over 400 this year. I know that for sure. Already, so.
Well, we very much appreciate everything that that all of our volunteer fire department members have done, and we appreciate your leadership, Chief. Thank you very much.
It's shown right here.
Yeah. You know, it's just the little things that are so rewarding. I mean, you know, just sometimes a thank you on the scene. It's great. You know, people you've never met, you don't know, they're just in our area, and you're helping them out. So that part's rewarding.
Thank you very much. All right. Kevin, maintenance department.
All right. Since our last meeting, we've had two burials at the cemetery. Both of them were last week. Cemetery, just basically mowing over there. And we took and went over and knocked down some more of the graves again. Obviously, if I'd been looking at a crystal ball, I would have seeded the graves, but we didn't get them seeded. We did put down more seed on the new cemetery addition, and Dave did get a hold of, who'd you have, Helena, come over and put fertilizer down. It is starting to thicken up even in the bare spots where we had in the back, so it's starting to show some promise back there. Bo did spray around the pond, but there's still quite a bit of weeds in those rocks that we're gonna have to get. Just basically mowing.
Okay.
Eric's back on the roads again. Next month, the first couple weeks of next month, I'll be on vacation for a week. Then when I come back, Eric was on vacation for a week. So, but other than that, just putting out the spot fires, sure, and a little maintenance.
All right. Okay, thanks, Kevin. Any questions?
Yeah, Kevin, I'm really surprised how nice that grass looks. After all the water set on that place and everything, it's amazing.
It is looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took and put another 50-pound bag back there in that big area. And because it had enough cracks in it, it just washed and fell into those cracks. So.
And I got the bill for the fertilizer. It was $287. I mean, yeah, that, can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong with that.
And it's, and it, and it's done in, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah. So they just shoot it?
Yeah. Them big A's come in and they just shot it with it that quick.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay. All right.
And the only other thing I'd like to bring up, not with my credit card as of yet. We've had problems with keeping up the payments on them and credit cards being declined. Well, that will be the thing. If mine is not kept up, that we will not get the cemetery markers, because if they run that card when they get done printing them, we will not get them. And that's almost $2,000 for the first round of them. So if there's something that we can do, because there's a policy in place for that to be paid, for us to keep those so we can spend up to $3,000, I would appreciate that. And like I said, I haven't had an issue with mine, but we've had to use mine a couple times for the fire department.
I got mine today.
And I have used my personal credit card to cover a cost. And I'm shocked when it's not in that reimbursement yet.
Then when me and David was out of town, we went to have lunch and the trustees' credit card was.
Yeah, I think the fiscal officer canceled it after we asked that he contest a particular charge.
Yeah, all right. That's all I got.
Okay, thank you very much. Nothing from the food pantry today. Anything from the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District?
Yes, good evening, everyone. Just one update this evening. Received a phone call. As everyone may know, there was a vacancy or a transition opportunity on the board of the Conservancy District this year. And received a phone call from Lucas County Court. Tim Luby, the court administrator, shared with me that the judges have appointed Holly Zuch as the third member of the Conservancy Board. She will begin, I believe she'll begin in July on the 10th.
Okay. All right.
Any questions?
Will the key to the chambers be passed from the outgoing?
I've reached out to the appropriate parties and made arrangements to transition.
Very good.
Keys and card and stuff.
Excellent. Yes. Thank you. Okay. All right. Any questions for Conservancy?
No, I don't believe. I was kind of curious what was going on. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, thank you. All right. Old business. David, ditch project at Rachel and East.
I do have the plans, and I also have the three right-of-ways I have to do, and sounds like I don't have to go to a lawyer. Sounds like Mr. Panuski is going to do those two for me, I believe. So once I get all the right-of-ways signed and sealed, I can do the bidding for the putting the tile in there, Bill. So it's coming, but it's slow. It just takes time. So that's where that project is right now, just waiting to get these papers signed.
Okay, thank you. Elliston, Route 2 Flapper?
Well, I've just been waiting for the wind to turn around here and get some good, strong southwesterly so they can get in there. And I haven't bugged him because the water's been high. So now if we should be in our lower stage here pretty quick, maybe I'll push him when I...
If we get a good south wind, yeah.
Yeah, we get a couple of them in maybe a 3-4 days in a row is what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, push her out and I'll bug him. He says he's got it on his list, so whatever.
Okay, all right. Route 2 signage.
Oh, it's up. I hope everyone saw it. I makes me feel good to say I'm a Jerusalem Township resident.
Looks very good.
Mark worked on the signage, and I made sure it got up. And Kevin, thank you. Kevin put it up. He didn't tell me. I was supposed to help.
No, your wife wasn't supposed to be driving around. Yeah.
Yeah, she said it was going up. She's been bugging me about it for about 4 years, so she was happy.
No, looks really good. There was a gentleman from ODNR out here this morning, and he came past it, and he unprompted, he said, he came from the east, and he said, I saw your sign was up. It looks great. Yeah. Wonderful that, you know, at the county line, it signified entering Jerusalem Township.
He was looking for his Department of Resources sign, see if it was
still. He didn't say anything about that.
So, yes, thank you, everyone, that helped make that happen.
Yeah, that was a big project.
All right, new snowplow truck.
Oh.
If you want to talk about that now?
Yeah. I guess I could start with a motion. I'd like to make a motion to buy a 2024 Western Star 47X SA. It's ODOT contract 023/23/2024 Western Star 47X. It has a snow and ice package from Petra Truck Equipment, and it has a 6-inch spreader that Kevin wanted, and we also added the 75-gallon pre-wet system. And it's got the 11x42 municipal snowplow per Petra Truck Equipment, which Kevin checked that out, and he was happy with everything. We saw the truck last Friday. We saw the snowplow and everything, and they probably started putting it together this week. The total unit price is $206,963.66. Less the total cash down payment of $100,000. Total financed is $106,963.66. It's a 5-year municipal lease payment. Payments made annually will be $25,663.15 annually. I guess that's it for that motion. Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. You are going to keep the older vehicle.
Yeah, Kevin and
I traded in.
And I talked to Bo about it too, and Bo thought that we should keep it too, because they're giving us Vila Road, I think, this year. Yeah. And I asked the engineer, Mr. Panuski, I says, well, what's next? He said Cedar Point Road's next, and I didn't ask anymore, but I would think they're just going to keep giving us all these roads. We'll end up just about with all of them here within the next 10 years.
They're not offering all that generous a trade-in allowance. So
no, $25,000. What did we do with the box? The box cost us, what, $15 or something, Kevin?
Yeah, upwards of $15 to change it out.
Yeah, and they'll only give us $25. I imagine they'll probably sell it for 45 or something like that, or 50 maybe.
So you'll get some more use out of it.
Yeah, well, we probably wouldn't have kept it, but with these new all these roads coming, we figured we'd probably better.
Yeah.
Because Kevin has taken real good care of it, and the salesman said that too. You don't see too many trucks in that kind of shape. It's 15 years old and really looks good. Okay. So yeah, we were going to keep it. We figured.
All right, I can second the motion for the unit price of $206,963.66, with $100,000 down and a municipal lease for over 5 years in the amount of $106,963.66. Roll call, David Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Mark Sattler? Yes. Roll call complete.
And
motion passed.
And then we got to make some more motions here. I make a motion to take $50,000 out of the ARP 2273 account to help pay for this truck.
Okay, I'll second that. The use of the $50,000, but it's already earmarked for roads from ARP monies. I'll second that. Roll call, David Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Mark Sattler? Yes.
And I got to make a motion then for the...
Motion approved.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion that we take $50,000 out of the gas tax, and it's number 2021 for the other $50,000 to make it $100,000 to take off the truck.
I'll second that. Roll call, David Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Mark Sattler? Yes. Motion passed. Okay.
I think that takes care of that.
All right, very good. All right, the next item of business is the SCS, DJ Mears, two-stage ditch report. Anything up?
I haven't heard anything from him, so, and I was busy with other things, and so I was, I'll probably get back with him this week or so and see what's going on.
Okay. We want to keep that on?
Yeah, let's keep it on.
Okay. All right. Last old business item is the bulk water filling station possibility for the township. Any update there?
With Rachel Road going on and
just keep that on?
All this other stuff, okay. I haven't touched it.
Okay,
so.
No problem. All right, very good. Okay, any other old business?
No.
Okay. New business. First item is electric rates. So I think we've probably seen some emails, letters, etc., and news reports about the local energy electricity rates. I had a discussion. I've been reaching out to the county commissioners for the last couple weeks, and today I spoke with Mark Fry. He's the CEO of Palmer Energy Consultants. He is the consultant that's been retained by the Lucas County commissioners to look at the energy aggregation. And Dave, here's a copy for you.
We had him at one time here.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, he indicated that he's been retained by the county commissioners, and he's looking at this energy aggregation. And he says it's unfortunate that Toledo Edison sent letters out to tell them that their electric generation prices were scheduled to double. He says it's really not the case. He said that, they were under a new aggregation, a three-year aggregation arrangement that began in May of 2022. Now, while the month-to-month prices are going up, apparently Lucas County is under a three-year lock that runs all the way out until May of 2025, and the rate is 6.3 cents per kilowatt hour. So I think we were at 5.7 cents before, we're going to 6.3, and then we went to 6.3. So he says it's unfortunate that the Toledo Edison sent that out. He said a number of other energy delivery companies did the same thing, but he says not to worry. So what'll happen is this is the default for all Jerusalem Township residents unless they opt out and choose to shop around on their own. But this arrangement, if at any point if they opted out, they can always opt back in. There's no penalty. And there's no window. They can come back in at any time for the 6.3 cents per kilowatt hour. And that'll run out. They won't let them go out for any more than a three-year lock, so that's going to run out through May of 2025. But anyway, I'm going to get this information out on our website and then push it out to the community so that they're aware of it. All right. The next item is, Bo asked me to put this on here, that several property sales, the purchaser withdrew. So there's two addresses, 733 Westmore and 561 Waterway. Dana Bolin withdrew her offers for those. Bo suggested that 561 Waterway, there's a second offer that was received from Mr. Jeff Rallo, in the amount of $60. And Bo recommended that we accept that offer for that property. The other property, the Westmore property, will have to go back into the pool.
Doesn't he live next door to, I think, that property?
I'm not sure.
I thought that was what Bo said. I thought maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. So anyway, if you have no objections,
no.
Then we'll ask him to go ahead and prepare the. I guess we should vote. I move that that we offer the rescinded property of 561 Waterway. We offer that to Jeff Rolla for his offer price. We accept his offer of $60 for that, and then we prepare the paperwork.
I can second.
Okay. Roll call, David Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller. Mark Sattler, yes. Roll call complete. Motion passed. Okay. Third item of new business, the Board of Trustee meetings for July and August. Our next meeting will be the second Tuesday of July. We'll be opening the offers received during the second quarter. And then I'm proposing that second meeting, given the summer, that we cancel that second meeting in July. That'd be the fourth Tuesday of July. And then the first meeting in August, that'll be the second Tuesday of August, that falls on August 8th, which is a special election date. So I'm proposing that we cancel that meeting, and so then we'll have one meeting in July. That'll be the fourth Tuesday, and then we'll have, that'll be the second Tuesday in July, and then we'll have one meeting in August. That'll be the fourth Tuesday in August.
Do you make that motion?
I can
second that, but I want to say that if something happens, we will have a special meeting.
If necessary, we'll call a special meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, roll call, David Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Mark Sattler? Yes. Motion passed. So we'll update the notices that to reflect those, the one meeting in July and one meeting in August. Okay. All right. Events and meetings, there's a list of upcoming meetings out for the next few months on there. And any other business, David?
I don't know if you want to mention, we had a meeting this morning. We could kind of mention that where we pump at the lake. I should say back of Tommy Grotto's there's where that crossover is. They're talking about putting a pump, two pumps there, to pump some into the wildlife there, Kevin, and somehow they're going to put a gate there too, so we got to open and shut, and they think they're going to run electricity down, straight down from DeCant for that, and so they're going to have to, where that dike's at, we're going to have to be able to, you know, be able to use that to go back there all the time and check stuff, so, but, you know, I was hoping we could totally get rid of our pump, you know, out there, but it's not gonna work that way. They only want so much water, so much water. You know, they'll check the height and the marsh, and that's all they want. And so we'll probably still be pumping almost as much, you know. But that's why we were in here this morning.
Why would we have to check the pumps if they're not ours?
Well, the gate. We might have to watch the gate.
Just the pipe that's going out for the.
Well, there'll be a gate there. There could be a flapper. I says, I really don't like flappers. But I don't like gates either. That's a pain in the butt, too. But they're going to have one of the two's going to have to be there, I guess.
Yeah, so, because right now we already have that muskrat problem with that tile.
Yeah.
At least a couple times a year. So,
that, you know, it's nothing in stone or anything, but it is going to have, it's all H2O money that's going to do it all. So it is going to get done. They're talking about putting a dike along Cedar Point too,
And they're talking about putting it real pretty close. And there's a lot. What are those flowers?
They're
Were they like the big patch?
Purple.
Those patches of flowers, yeah. Those are critical. You know, even to the ditch. I told them I'd like to have a little layback, so we have a little ditch along there too on that side. You know, just for because we're going to end up owning the road probably, but they say they kind of want it right up to right away. So there's a lot of hassle. We're going to have to hassle about this a little bit.
Well, never know.
Now, there's a lot to happen here, yep, but it's a good thing that we got the Niles Road ditch cleaning, because that'll help all this go together then. And yeah.
Cedar Point Road, since basically the county has started hiring the private contractor basically 9-10 years ago, that road has been let go on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be 2 mower widths back from the edge of the road. Whether the state likes it or not, it should be, because of sight distances with houses along that side for one, and their own accesses that come in and out along that road. Because like where we come in and out with the pump, if you only mow to the pole, the front end of your truck sitting out in a drive lane trying to see down the road, then no.
Now we're going to try and do something about that. I give up on talking to Panuski and everybody there. You know, we're going to maybe talk to the commissioners if that's going to do us any good either, but we're going to go a step above maybe everybody and see if we can get anybody to, yeah.
It's just dangerous on how they're doing.
All these roads, you know, Yondota and Seaman and Kuzno and Seaman and everything, you know.
Right now are the unwanted stepchild, yeah. Where we were at basically 25 years ago. Yeah. We're right back to that point again.
Yeah.
They don't even think the east side exists, because everything's expanded and growing the other side of town, and that's where the infrastructure's all going, so.
Yeah,
no.
I totally agree. So we're trying to do something. We'll see what happens.
Okay, all right, very good.
I think that's it.
Okay, we can move into public participation.
That's a map on it.
Mr. Jim Ryan.
Yep.
Go ahead, sir. Please come up to the podium and.
Having a lot of trouble with my next door neighbor, and it's really getting out of hand. And I'm gonna show you one thing. Gosh darn it! Sorry. I asked him not to park for the fire hydrant.
Oh, okay.
You see how that is?
They're yes, 5 feet? It's blocking it. Yeah.
I don't know what the law is.
Can you show that to
is
Chief
that
Tony?
Cedar Brown?
Yep.
I've reported that to zoning, and that's a zoning violation. They do the same thing in the wintertime. And it's
that's that one you showed me.
Yes, they park multiple vehicles 3/4 of the way in the drive lane.
That's my other second thing I was going to say about this. He's a retired deputy for the Coos County and said he knows the law.
That's good. Yeah.
But I can't read him now. But anyways, they park up to 5 vehicles in the street. And they only have one tire in the stone. And everything else is in the street.
Oh, sticking way out, yeah.
And it turned it into a one-lane road. And when Amazon comes down the road, nobody can get through.
Okay.
And the kid pulled up into my yard and parked and did it in front of my property. I said, excuse me, if you would, if you're going to park in the street, do it in front of your house, not on my property. He said, F you. I said, hey, wait a minute. I'm worried about people hitting your car, get hurt or dying. And you have up to 6 vehicles in the street. They have nothing but garbage in their driveway. There's 10 tires, a fifth wheel trailer, 2 boats, 2 boat trailers, golf cart, and they park all their vehicles in the street.
We'll refer that to zoning. Do you the approximate address, sir?
Yep. There's his name, his address.
Okay.
No.
All right. Is this for me? Or do you want this back?
You keep it if you want. I had notes on it because I forget
okay,
things.
Okay.
You can keep it. It's okay. One other thing, if I might say it. They have a electrical system for the dogs so they don't leave the yard.
Sure. Invisible fence?
Uh-huh. Twice now, the German Shepherds come out. Yesterday, the eavesdrop, I got the maple seeds in the eavesdrop blocked up, so I was on a ladder getting it. And the dog come out. They didn't have it on, or they take the collar off. And I got out of the ladder, and as long as I face it and yell at it, I could back the dog up. If I turn, it come right at my ankles. So then I yelled at my wife to come watch what was going on. She opened the front door, then the dog went after her and her up on my porch. And she shut the door quick, and it was barking and at the door.
Yeah, okay.
I don't need dogs doing that. I've got a granddaughter that lives with us,
right.
And little kids that play that are even in school yet. And I don't want these dogs running around. This is the second time. It chased me across the yard. I called Lucas County Dog Control. They said they don't do stuff like that. I said, this dog chased me across the street.
You can certainly call the sheriff deputy and report that.
And he's the sheriff's deputy.
Oh.
Three times I have him come out there to move the cars out of the street, and they still come back and do it. And the sheriff deputies come out and bring him tools to use. But I helped the guy. His kid crashed the golf cart. That's another thing they got. The girl was brain damaged, and I went over there, got my jack, lifted up, gave him all my tools to fix it, but then shit like this happens.
All right. Well, we'll certainly forward the issue.
Because I don't think you can see. He told me I could park all my vehicles in the street day and night, and you can't do nothing about it.
I'm not sure that's correct.
Mm.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for your comment.
That's what I want to say.
Okay. Mr. Jim Boothby.
Do I have to come up, or can I yell from back here?
Well, if you'd
James
like
Boothby from Cooley Canal.
Yes, sir.
This week I forwarded a piece of paper to Linda, the zoning office, on the property in Bono, on Greenwood.
Okay.
What are the trustees planning on doing about that? I mean, there's no credibility to the township if they can't take care of their own property. That's been there long enough. It's a hazard. People are upset. I've had several people approach me on it. Is somebody going to clean that mess up? Or are we just going to turn our back on it? You guys are the trustees. Kevin runs the maintenance department. Somebody's his boss. Somebody has to have a backbone and step up and get that taken care of. Because it's an embarrassment to the rest of the zoning board for us to continue when we can't even clean up our own property.
Chief.
That's it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I just want to share in reference to that said property, Lucas County Sheriff did file a report on
the vandalism?
The vandalism and the threat that was proposed.
Right.
So there is a police report filed.
Okay. Okay.
One more question to go on. Did you receive a notice from Linda on the grass that needing to be mowed? No, you didn't.
I don't know that I did.
Okay.
Sorry. No. Okay.
So it should be forthcoming.
Okay. All right. Okay. Mr. Scott?
Henniger?
Yes, sir.
Yondota Road. Can you just elaborate a little bit on the conversation that you had with the prosecutor's office that we have to sign up to have a say at the township meeting?
He indicated, I was explaining some of the issues that we were dealing with, and he suggested that we implement some changes. He said most communities a limit to 3 minutes or less, and they do ask anyone that wishing to speak to sign up to speak in advance. As we have information up there, all of our residents, our community has the right to observe. The township, they do not have the right to be heard. The township extends that as a privilege to our residents for public comment. And if individuals if they act in a disruptive or a distracting manner, they can forfeit that right to observe and to be heard. Well, they can forfeit the right to observe, and that means that, you know, they can be removed from the meeting.
Can you elaborate on the topics that you discussed with him the issues that you're saying that we were having here? Can you tell us which you spoke to him about, of the issues?
There was, I talked to him about some selected behaviors that were disruptive in the meeting, how they tended to recur, and he suggested these changes. So that's why we're implementing.
And the selected behavior was
Disruptive behavior, distracting, disruptive, attention seeking.
And you have the authority to remove those people from the meeting, correct?
If the behavior is disruptive enough, yes, we can ask the person to leave, and if it's bad enough, yes, the person, you know, law enforcement could be asked to.
But we have never done that.
It has been done.
I'm just talking in the past that you're talking.
It has
about.
Been done
here recently.
In the last few, no, we've not. We've not called for that in the recent, yeah,
okay.
Correct.
About 20 years ago it happened.
Right, that's why I'm talking in the recent of the issues, instead of, I guess, addressing the problem that you felt at the time, this is how we address the problem, I guess. It doesn't make sense to me. I feel if you feel that there's a disruptive at the meeting, that it should be dealt with then, not go to the prosecutor's office for the township residents to be able to sign up to speak.
A lot of communities do require a sign up for public comments.
It is.
You go down the street to
common.
Oregon. That's
but we're
process.
Not Oregon.
No, we're not. But mm-hmm. but that is a fairly common practice.
It's not a good answer, but.
Well, if everyone would behave in a responsible manner, it wouldn't be necessary. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when there's bad actors, you know, we want to make sure that the individuals that do have something legitimately have comments get the chance to do that. The other thing that the prosecutor indicated is we don't need to take public comments. We can suspend all public comments. We chose not to do that. We chose to implement this as an intermediate strategy so that we can still give as many of our community members who want to speak as possible the chance to be heard. Okay? Trying to be as fair as we can. Trying to be as...
Yeah. But those people still can sign up is what I'm saying.
They can.
Yeah.
They can.
So... Instead of, like I say, if we could have rectified it, if you guys feel that there's a lot of disruption, I think the greater part of it would be to remove it and make an example, not really an example, but a standard, to try to conform a standard, because they're still going to sign up of these folks that you say that are disruptive. Isn't that correct? They can still sign up.
They can. Okay. It's our hope that they'll behave in an adult and responsible manner.
Okay, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. All right. Next, Sandra Litton. Comment.
Sandra Litton. What is the Lucas County prosecutor's name who gave you this advice?
John Burrell.
Thank you very much.
All right. Karen Wilhelm.
Yes, just a question. There was a special meeting a while back when you hired a part-time office employee.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me when that meeting was scheduled? Because I think you had a special meeting. No one was really aware of it, I believe.
That there was, the meeting was called. I believe we must provide a minimum of 24-hour notice. I think we provided a 72-hour notice. It was on the sign, the electronic sign. It was posted at
Jack's.
Jack's. It was posted at the gas station at North Curtis. And
it was on the door here too.
And it was, yeah, correct. And it was on the door here, right.
Another question. Can you tell me how much the township's paying the attorney for the appeal that they're fighting now regarding the grass cutting? Is there an hourly rate that the township's paying for that?
The normally attorneys will charge a rate based upon the time that they spend. So
So it could be $1 an hour for all we know?
It we'll get the bill after he spends the time, but I think it's probably only about an hour of his time to file the appeal.
Gotcha.
Plus the court costs for the appeal.
Gotcha. And one other comment, the handouts for the public should really be by the door or maybe in the lobby so somebody doesn't have to climb over other people to get them. I don't know why they're there.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Okay. All right, Mr. Tank.
Yes, Bill Tank. I would like to know, and I'd like you to give us an honest answer, which I know we're not going to get. What gives you the right to be a dictator like this and take away people's rights to speak? Something that's been established in all the meetings.
The Ohio Revised Code and the Open Records Act does not give people the right to be heard. It gives them the right to observe, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago. And that's also posted up here. So it's a privilege that we extend to our community members for public comment.
So in turn for somebody voting for you and electing you to that position, you're going to give them a privilege to make comments.
Bill, it is our meeting.
This is a business.
It's meeting. Our meeting too. It's our money you're playing with.
You have the right to observe.
I don't play with it.
You have the right to observe, and we as a privilege, we give folks the opportunity to be heard.
I think if you get in that state code and look hard enough, it also says we have a right to public comment.
You can read it, Bill.
Yeah, feel free, but no, it doesn't say that.
If you go to a commissioner's meeting, you don't even talk. You can't even talk to them. Yeah.
The Open Meetings Act is posted right there, so feel free to take a photo of that, go back and research it on the web if you want.
I will. Okay.
Very good.
I will.
Thank you.
Just very sad.
All right.
You are.
Is there a motion? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so moved.
I'll second that. All,
Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry, is there a...
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yes, Jill, yes, please, if you would identify yourself, please.
My name is Jill Percaccini, and I am here to second Mr. Ryan. I am Mr. Ryan's neighbor, and that's what I would...
Okay. The parking issue blocking the fire hydrant?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, okay. All right.
And the driver the other day, I couldn't get around because they park halfway in the street, well, the road, and halfway in their yard. Like, there's a curb there, and there is not a curb. I grew up out here, and I'm living out here again, and and it turns into a one-way street. It's just, it's ridiculous.
All right. Understood. Okay, thank you very much. We'll be forwarding this issue to zoning to issue zoning violations as appropriate.
Please, because then he has said to more than one person that he, you know, I'm a retired sheriff and I can do what I want, and that's not cool.
No, that's not correct. Yes. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Roll call. David Bench.
Yes.
I'm sorry? Okay. Bo Miller? Mark Sattler? Yes. Meeting adjourned at 8:07 p.m.? Okay. Very good. And if you can catch the... I don't see any order over there, and then I'm going to turn off the camera.
I never did get.